Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about defunct concepts crisis. This is a small sort of critical section to this paper which I'm working through. And I just want to think what it is. It's in terms of that I've got the science discipline for writing the science paper, but as it unfolds, I've got these other disciplines which come into play. So I've got this fundamental science is you identify a problem, solve a problem, publish a problem, publish a solution. So the end day of a result of the science activity is that you've got more solutions. Now, what that's sort of happened is that I've had some of the training in other areas. I think one of the most telling parts of training is in military training. And I don't think, you know, like I haven't been trained to run a military, to run a military thing, but the actual theory is from Clausewitz's theory, I think a theory of warfare it's called, and you look at something called the center of mass. So you look at a problem that's highly complex, can you look at that problem such that you can pick the key factor, so it's reverse engineering a complex problem to try and make it simple. And I've identified this key factor, the Clausewitz is center of mass. Then you've got a whole series of strategies. As I write, I realise, oh, this has come from here, this has come from there. How does it all come together? So what I'm doing is I'm just banging away at it, so to speak. So let's read this. It's still a little bit windy here in Australia as the page blows in front of me. Defunct concepts crisis. That really doesn't quite capture it. Over the course of history, many ideas that had gained widespread application became cultural concepts or communal thinking tools. Rather than going through how to cross each road intersections on a case-by-case basis, we instead give each individual a collection of concepts behind the road rules that are justified because we have told everyone the same thing. We distill them into a manageable set of rules. In science, it is perhaps a better analogy to use the word gene instead of rules, as genes can mutate over time and new organisms evolve. The crisis is that education is using a 1913 gene pool evolved for replication, while industry is using genes that have been evolving a little bit ahead of technology. The big break can be traced to the 1923 discovery of quantum mechanics. Given this recount of 20th century technology history, we have at least made plausible the possibility that there are defunct concepts in the education gene pool. But how is this defunct concept a crisis? I hope you, Michael, who's listening to this, like this. We are taking one bulb thermometer out of a student's hands with the UB giving a hand and with the UB giving a handful of sensors that connects one silicon crystal after another, then go through antenna, more crystals, lasers, optical fibers, and so forth until the results appear on the mobile phone held in their other hand. Do you like that? Just the hand. Those crystals contain electrons as big as trillions of atoms, and we have built miniature cities with roads and junctions with traffic lights that control the flow. So right, you can see the link, road rules cross. Oh, hope bloody hell. Given the ideas that were around at the time, you would forgive a 1913 scientist for being sceptical. If you time travelled back to 1913, but as sometimes is the case, not able to bring your technology with you, you would not be able to show your mobile phone. The problem is that in 2020, you can show your mobile phone to students who know only of the world as it was in 1913. With the UB, the clear suitcase showing sensors connected to silicon, this problem is a crisis. But only if you're contemplating moving things along from 1913. So how do you like that, Hilsey? Well, sorry, Michael. That's pretty good. I can see why it's done. Why this is just insane. There's only one more paragraph here, and this is 5 minutes reading, so that's not so bad. An analogy would be the terrain radar not working on a commercial airlines, meaning that travel agents promote tourist destinations that don't have airports and near mountains. As less people went to these locations, the definitions of being well-travelled would change to mean visiting many places, but not those ones. With education minus the bit after 1923, you can still be considered well-educated, but not know what is going on in those silicon crystals, as this means crystal physics, which is solid-state physics, which is the physics of large electrons in molecular crystals and orbitals, and other quantum physics effects. The analogy is complete for the aircraft, there's no need to fix the radar, as no one travels to places that use it, and for education, there's no need to teach silicon physics, as no one needs it. I think that's captured it. Now, at a certain point, I've got to really nail the misconception. So they've got this. So what has happened is that normally, say in a scientific argument, the instant you make a mistake, you stop, and then so that's finished. So I don't know what you're feeling with that is. So that's Michael, who will review it, and other people listening to it. Yeah, so there's a whole series of things going across here. It's the next step along here is to what extent, what are the rules of engagement? So in science, the moment you make a mistake, you have to stop. But this doesn't apply to education. So what happens is that they make a mistake, continue on and make another mistake, coming on, and pretty soon they forget the fact that they made a first mistake, and then they sort of get angry at you that you know you haven't moved with them. And so the issue is here is the very first mistake they make with silicon is that the electrons are individual little flecks in that huge crystal, and from that that's a mistake. Really, science has to stop there. But then they go on to make a claim that in the valence band, the flecks are maintained between a locality of two electrons, two protons. Yet another mistake. So at what point in the interaction do you want to say, you've made a mistake, you stop, stop, go back? At what point do you do it? And there's this view of science being a consensus thing, as it was before Galileo. So you would go around and they'd say, well, how does the world operate? Let's ask everyone and we'll get form a consensus. So the consensus is this versus someone who... it's the supremacy of doing an experiment. So those things coming in. The thought is the classics. There's the... I was really trying to think that the reality is that it's not a defined science how you go through prototyping. But it is defined that you should go through prototyping with a system. What that system is debatable. And so my prototyping system is concept proofs of principle goes on to research. So the research has built into it the ability to change the variables, to take your device and move it around the phase space of solutions to find the optimal. And once it's found the optimal, you then refine it and qualify it. So measure it over a period of time to check your assumptions, your locality assumptions. So that's a three section. The thing is, it's not, you can't say I'm using such and such a protocol method, because every company, industry thing has its own requirements, but it's not that they don't do it. It's not that anyone doesn't do it. Everyone does it. It's just that they've got a different way of doing it. So that's there. Then there's the step before of building things up. So if you build it such as the proof of principle, and then you don't go completely to the next way, you go in a planned path where you move one section, you upgrade one section at a time, and then you upgrade the entire system. But at any point, you can always step back. So there's that aspect. There is also the other aspect of diffusing. When you go out into prototype space, you go out with not three. Well, in this case, I've gone out with three separate prototypes, and they explore different. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.